It's time for From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine with Cray Schapp. A golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around, trying to put it in a 4 1/4-inch diameter hole. From the Shortgrass is presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine and brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. And now, from the Shortgrass, here's your host, Cray Schapp.
Welcome back to another edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I'm your host, Cray Schapp. UAMS Ortho now, open at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. If you have an orthopedic injury, sports, work, or anything else, go in and see the best in orthopedic care. No appointment needed. Ortho now, open Monday through Friday, 8 to 8, and Saturday, 8 to noon. Coming up on this edition, we pick back up my interview with Georgia men's golf coach Chris Hack, who is retiring after 30 years. The Georgia Bulldogs did not make the match play at the SEC tournament last week. They were on the outside looking in as they lost in a three-way playoff for just one spot. South Carolina defeated Georgia and Arkansas in that playoff to make it into match play. The Ole Miss men's golf team ended up winning the SEC men's title for the first time in 41 years. I'm back after the break with part two of my sit-down with Chris Hack.
At Stevens, our philosophy is to invest every dollar as if it were our own. To seize opportunity. To anticipate rather than react. To deliver constant focus in an ever-changing world. And to pursue the objectives of our clients in order to help them reach their financial goals. A proven history of helping companies and individuals. Stevens, member NYSE SIPC.
I'm Dr. Lowry Barnes. When it comes to orthopedic care, there's no place like the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. We built this hospital just for you. With state-of-the-art surgical suites, advanced technology, and the state's largest group of fellowship-trained orthopedic surgeons. It's the best place in Arkansas to get you moving again. And if you need urgent orthopedic care, UAMS Ortho Now is right here for you at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health, where motion lives and service leads.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am Cray Schapp. We pick up my sit-down interview with Georgia men's golf coach Chris Hack at the University of Georgia Golf Course in Athens. He is retiring after 30 years. We're going to jump right in discussing his second national championship and why this one was a little bit different. On the tee, Chris Hack.
And then in 2005, your national championship there, we were talking earlier, and you showed me the scorecard.
Actual score sheet.
The actual score sheet that they had there at the championship. All five of your guys each shot the same score in the final round, 70.
At Caves Valley, which was a really, really good hard golf course.
And you said you've never seen a team do that. So every single player shoots the same thing.
In 30 years of coaching, at every tournament I've been to or any tournament result I've ever seen, I've never seen a team shoot the same score in a round, much less the final round of the national championship and it being a really good round of 70. And so, yeah, I went to bed that night at Caves Valley with a 9-shot lead over Georgia Tech, and all I could think about was if I lose this lead to Georgia Tech, they're going to run me out of Athens, Georgia, because they were our biggest rival. And luckily for me, our team got off to a good start, and everybody was playing so good and so steady and so solid that it never got close. And then I stood there on the 18th hole as they all came through and asked him, hey, how'd you finish? 70. How'd you finish? 70. It was incredible. I just.
Every single one.
Yeah, I just loved it. And that was the ultimate in winning that championship.
So when you talk to him, do you say, okay, well, I counted your score, but I didn't count yours?
Well, because it was actually kind of funny because all the guys said, they go, well, who did you throw out? And I went, I threw out the Canadian. I told Richard Scott, you're Canadian. We're going to throw you out.
Yeah.
But no, it was great. And I love getting together with that team and just talking about that that whole experience was phenomenal.
It's pretty cool.
And what was really unique about that event, so Kisner had struggled all spring. He had really played bad. Heck, he shot, I think, 90 at the SEC Championship earlier, and it was really having some struggles with his golf swing. You know, I stuck with him. He was our team captain, and I really thought about making a change. And we ended up going to regionals, and he played a little bit better and started seeing a few glimpses of things coming around. Well, we get to Caves Valley, first round, he goes out and shoots 65, and it was like game on. It had clicked, and he was back.
Laser focus.
And basically that 65 just gave everybody ease that, okay, let's go play.
What was he like?
Just like he is now. Fun-loving, just easy to get along with, always with a joke or a quip or something of that nature, quick-witted, just a really fun guy to have around and be around. And, again, great guy.
Coach, you have to have facilities to practice on, and obviously you don't want to play the same course over and over and over and over again. I think of the blessings up in Fayetteville that they get to play, which is a phenomenal golf course. But even before it, they would play Fayetteville Country Club. They could go up to Pinnacle Country Club. There are nice golf courses around there. Around here, I mean, there are some pretty good golf courses in the state of Georgia. One that is probably at the top of the list of almost anybody that knows anything about the game, and it's just down the road in Augusta. How many times? Once a year you get to take the team there?
Yeah, once a year we go down with the team. They get a chance to play it, and that's pretty special. Our athletic department for years was members at East Lake, and we could take the team over there and play.
But Peachtree?
Peachtree, yeah, we would take them over. And Peachtree, to me, is one of my favorite because it's such a hidden gem and such a great place. But in a small college town like Athens, you know, we've got the university course here, which is Robert Trent Jones, and a great track. We're hosting regionals this year, but they hosted a Corn Ferry event here for 4, 5, 6 years, and it was always one of the higher cuts. It was one of the lowest totals in terms of, you know, difficulty. And the tour guys would always tell me, man, this is – they actually at one point asked me about whether or not they could – have their Corn Ferry Tour Championship here because they loved it.
Yeah,
great golf and hard. Then you go across town and you got Athens Country Club, which is an old Donald Ross golf course built in 26, and it held the U.S. Junior in 71, and it's held a lot of state amateurs. Great Donald Ross golf course. And then you go, you know, around the loop and you hit Bob Cupp's Jennings Mill Golf Course, which hosted the first round of PGA Tour qualifying school for 25 years. I mean, again, a really good golf course. So in this little town, we had three great golf courses, and now we're about to open up a fourth one called the Rose, which one of my former players, Nick Cassini, spearheaded, and him and Bubba and Brendan Todd and Chris Kirk are all involved in it. But it's going to be a very ultra-private golf course, but Tripp Davis is doing the golf course. And, again, it's going to be available to our men's and women's teams to come out there and play. But we're going to have four great golf courses just right here. But then you can go 30 miles down to Lake Oconee, and you've got eight golf courses down there, you know, that we can go play.
Mm-hmm.
So our state is not short of great places to go play. So we're very fortunate that we get to see a lot of golf courses. And I tell the guys, I want to play a lot of different golf courses because when you go on the road, you got to be able to adapt quickly to what you see. And so we get a lot of practice at doing that.
And when you go to the coast where the SEC championships are held, St. Simon's Island.
St. Simon's Island, yeah. Again, another great golf course, which hosts a tour event. And we're very fortunate that our conference championship is down there every year. So, It's the best for us because it's not only in the state of Georgia, but we got a lot of good support down there.
What is it like competing in the SEC? Is it like we see with football, with basketball, with baseball? It is tough.
It is very tough. And our team, we're ranked number 22 in the country right now, and we're the 11th highest team in the conference. So, I mean, top to bottom, and it is hard. Texas, Oklahoma, Florida, LSU, Auburn, every team is good. Vanderbilt, I mean, it's just strong. Arkansas is having a terrific year. A&M, I mean, it just keeps on coming.
Yeah.
And so when you go down to the SEC, making the top eight is as hard there as it is at the national championship almost. I mean, it's crazy hard.
Are you glad that the NCAA went to match play to determine a champion, or would you like it back when you guys won two national titles and it was stroke play?
To me, it's a little bit of a double-edged sword, and I like it for the fact I think it makes it a little more interesting, it makes it a little more exciting, you know, makes it a little bit better for watching on TV. Obviously, it doesn't necessarily always identify the best team, but you still got to play pretty darn good to make it all that way. And heck, you look at the Stanford women's teams, how good they've been, and they still haven't won it.
No.
I mean, it's hard. So, I've had a couple of great teams that have come close to winning the match play portion of it, too. But, again, just never got over that hump.
70 All-Americans, 14 first team, 18 second team, and 8 third team, 30 honorable mentions in your time here at the University of Georgia. What does that mean to you?
I think it's just that it's been a model of consistency that, the things that we're doing it right, and it has sustained over 30 years of doing it. And, you know, I've got guys on my first teams that were All-Americans that have made it to the tour. I've got guys on the back end of my career here that have, made it to the tour and been All-Americans, and a lot in between. So it's just been, hopefully a model of consistency.
What are some of your favorite players? I mean, I ask that because some coaches have those that they just click with, and there are some that get into the program and it's like, well, maybe not. But do you have any stories about some of recruiting stories that you were like, okay, yeah, I need that guy on my team?
You know, here's the thing when it comes to recruiting. We forget about the ones we got. We think about the ones we missed out on. You know, we missed out on Scottie Scheffler. We missed out on Cam Young. You know, those are the ones that stick out. But no, I honestly, it's hard for me to sit here and say, you know, these were my favorite guys, because I recruited all these guys for a reason, and they all of them bring something different, something a little special. But the one thing I always wanted was camaraderie. I always wanted them to, you know, to feel like they were a special part of the greatest golf fraternity out there, and that this is something special to be able to say, I was on the Georgia golf team. People go, oh my God, you know, that must have been a really special happening, you know, and that's what I wanted, and that's why, you know, I had all the guys. I would tell them, hey, when you get on tour, I want you to put a G on your bag. And so, you know, we kind of started that trend with all these guys putting the G
collegiate
on their
logos,
bags.
Yeah.
And so because of that, they get a lot more Go Dawgs out there than probably most. But I always wanted it to feel, again, like a very special group of guys, and that if you are part of this group, you are part of the greatest fraternity out there. Now, I will say, they ask me all the time, you know, if you had five different guys that you had to pick from during their college careers.
Yeah, what five?
It'd be hard. That would be hard, but I would have to.
It'd be a pretty loaded team.
It would be a loaded team. I'd like to pick 10 so I could sub in, but, but you know, I'd have to put Chris Kirk on there because his college career was incredible, and he won the Ben Hogan Award. Russell Henley, again, was one of those guys who had just a great college career and winning the Haskins Award.
The Haskins, yeah.
I'd be hard-pressed not to put Ryuji Amada on there, because even though he was only with me for 2 years, he was such a special player and led us to that national championship. But that he was a guy who could hit every shot in the book. I'm telling you, it gets
tough, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. It gets harder and harder. Lee McCoy was a two-time first-team All-American, and there aren't a lot of those in college golf. And And again, unfortunately, he had a car accident and broke his wrist and was never the same player. Otherwise, I think we would see him out there. But he was a great player. Wasn't always the best tempered guy out there, but gosh, he was a gritty competitor. And gosh, my fourth player, I don't really know who I'd put in there. I'm going to leave that one open and let everybody else pick their fourth. But I do get a lot of people that ask me, of all my tour guys, is there anybody I pull for every week out there more than any other? And, of course, the answer should be no. They're all like my kids. But I do say, yeah, there is. I got one guy out there that I want him to win every week. And they go, who? And I go, Grayson Sigg. And they go, really? I said, yeah, he married my daughter. So I want him to win every week.
There's a reason you want him to win every week.
Yes.
How about that?
Because I want him to take care of me in my old age.
Exactly. Right. You're not old. Just retiring early, which we're going to get to here in a second. Bubba Watson, when he came in, what did you see in him?
Well, see, I had an advantage with Bubba because he played in the AJJ when I was around. So I've known Bubba since he was 14. Bubba was one of those kind of kids who was just like he is now, a little flamboyant. He would show up at these junior tournaments in canary yellow knickers or hot pink knickers or whatever.
Just flashy.
He was just that guy who was so far ahead of his time. You know, he was the first guy who ever said to me anything about Twitter, that he was into Twitter and doing all this. And I was like, I don't even know what Twitter is. But he was doing all the texting and Twittering and all that kind of stuff. But Bubba, I wanted Bubba to come in to Georgia out of high school, but he didn't have the grades. So I found him a place down at Faulkner State. And I said, Bubba, you go down there, get with Leo Kling, graduate from that two-year college, I'll have a place for you. And he went down there and he did it, and he did what he had to do, came back here and joined me, and I knew I was only going to have him for a couple of years. But Bubba was one of those guys who was incredibly talented in terms of he could do anything with a golf ball better than anybody else could. He could curve it, move it, hit it high, hit it low. Incredible hands. He could throw. Have you ever tried to throw a golf ball very far?
No. Yeah, it didn't
go
very far.
He could literally throw a golf ball from center field to home plate. I mean, he was that kind of guy.
Wow.
He had that big wiry, you know, arc. He was just an incredible player. His biggest problem was that he could hit it so far. He'd hit a big hook and so forth. When he finally figured out that if he would just hit a cut all the time and keep it in play, that's when he became a world-class player. And he's an incredibly talented young man.
What's it like seeing some of your former players win majors? Is that top of the top special?
Yeah. Well, you know, that only because those are the ones that everybody watches, right? And everybody's focused on those. To see Bubba win his first one. So now, you know, I wasn't there when he won that first one, but I was watching it on TV. Jim Douglas and I, my assistant, we were watching it. And when we saw where his ball ended up on 10 and knew that he had to hit like a 90-degree.
You said, I've seen it.
I've seen that shot so many times out of him. If there was one thing Bubba could do was hit a trap hook wedge better than anybody. And we were like, this is not a problem for him. Anybody else, it'd be a problem. And he hit that shot, and it was incredible. To see him back it up and do it again was nice because, you know, when you win it once, people think it's a fluke. You win it twice, they know you got some talent. Mm-hmm. To see him do it again was awesome. But then, you know, years later, to see Brian Harman battle my other guy, Sepp Straka, at the Open and see those guys battling it coming down the stretch and to see Brian break through and do that. I mean, again, you know that the world is watching, and that, you know, that is much more special in that regard because it's such a big stage. It's such a pressure cooker that it's so much fun to see.
You've talked about Amata and what he means. Best ball striker you've ever had on the team, who is it?
Oh, gosh. ball striker. It might be Sepp Straka. Sepp's a great ball striker. In college, you couldn't chip worth a damn. we got that straightened out with him. But, yeah, just such a great ball striker and still is today. Best short game, Ryuji Yamada, probably in a battle with Brendan Todd. I'd like to see that battle because two incredible short games. Kirk had a great short game. Henley had a great short game. Putters in college, Henley and Kirk were two of the best putters I ever saw in college. Best driver of the golf ball was Richard Scott, probably one of the best drivers of the golf ball I ever saw. And maybe put no, he was best. He was without a doubt, he was the best I ever saw. Best long iron player was probably Hudson Swafford. Gosh, I know I'm leaving off some really good players here. Another great driver of the golf ball was Harris English.
Well, in 30 years, I mean, yeah. You've had quite a few players come through the facility. A
lot of guys who were ultra-talented and went on to do some great things. Some of the best players I ever had never made it, which has kind of surprised me. You know, Nick Cassini, who played on a few Walker Cup teams. Adam Mitchell, who was a Walker Cupper. Lee McCoy, I think, would have made it had he not gotten injured. But, yeah, some great players that didn't make it that I thought would be great. And I still think there are some of my younger guys that are still going to get out there and do some great things. Trent Phillips, incredibly talented kid. Davis Thompson, I think, whenever he gets more comfortable, we're going to see bigger and better things out of Davis. I've just been very fortunate. I tell you, the other guy that I think, if he ever gets out of his own way, is Keith Mitchell. Again, great driver of the ball, great iron player, just seems to get in his own way sometimes when he gets in the hunt.
Coach, what are you going to do in retirement? Do you think you'll miss coming to the facility every day?
Maybe a little bit, but you know, I'm gonna do something in golf. I mean, this is all I've known for 46 years, right? So, you know, I feel like I've got a lot of knowledge that I can help. Again, whether it's something that I might try to do with the Golf Channel, PGA Tour, LIV Tour, who knows? I just think I've got a lot to offer. The one thing I don't want to do is be an agent, because that's kind of what has led me to this decision, is that
NIL.
All of a sudden now the NIL world, the transfer portal world, now, you know, players have agents. And, you know, I've already heard a few horror stories, not for me but for others, where the agents are calling and saying, hey, this guy's not going to be available for that tournament. And I'm like, you know, this isn't going to work with me. This is I built my program on. We're going to do it my way, the way that I want players to be involved, and I want those certain type of players. And so I figured this was probably the right time. I had one goal in mind when I took the job, and that was to leave it better than I found it. And one thing I can say for sure, with the guys that are coming in next year, to have the U.S. Amateur Champ and to have the U.S. Junior Champ come in together, I'm leaving the cupboard full. I'm going to be able to walk out knowing that I left it in great shape, left it in great hands, and I think they'll be just fine in the future.
No doubt about that. You're a member of the Georgia State Golf Association Hall of Fame, Georgia Sports Hall of Fame. What does that mean to Chris Hack?
You know, it was such a great honor to get into those groups, because, you know, I look at the names of the people that are in, and I'm, you know, to me it's kind of like, gosh, am I really in this with these names and these people? It just kind of validates that maybe we did it right. You know, I did it the right way, and I did it my way, and that things worked out, you know, that it turned out to be a pretty good gig. For all the good times, that, you know, that's something that hopefully my kids, my grandkids, and so forth will look back and say, oh, you know, Dad or Bootsy, as my grandkids call me, did it right.
That's pretty cool. I want to put this into when we were talking about Bubba. You've got one of his master's trophies here at the facility. When you bring recruits in and show them the trophy room, do they get drawn to that trophy?
Yeah, they see a lot of them, but they'll radiate towards that one because, you know, we have a U.S. Amateur, British Amateur, Walker Cup, all that stuff in there. But to actually have an actual master's trophy in there is pretty special. And you know, when we built the trophy room the way we did, I told Billy Payne when he was here one day as we were doing it, I said, this is going to be a area dedicated to Bubba winning the Masters. What's the chance of us getting a replica? And he told me, he said, Chris, oh, my gosh, I'd love to do it, but if I do it for you, we'd have to do it for everybody. He said, maybe I'll get you some other stuff. So about 2 weeks later, Bubba was in town, and I was showing him around, and I told him that story. And he goes, well, Coach, I've got two of them. I'll put one of them in here. And I said, yeah, you do. I forgot about that. So to actually have Bubba's actual trophy in there is an unbelievable showpiece. And we're still working on trying to get a claret jug from Harman. But maybe if he wins another British Open, he'll just put one of them up here.
There you go. I mean, the 2014 Masters trophy sitting in there is pretty nice. Best golf course. I know you've played a lot of them. Best golf course you've ever played.
Oh gosh. You know, it's hard for me to not put Augusta National on that list, but there is something very special about Pebble Beach. And, you know, we went out there for gosh, six or seven years with a tournament, and that place, just the views of that place are incredible. But Augusta might be the favorite place I ever played. Pebble Beach might be the most beautiful place that if I ever had one round and that was the only place I could go, it'd probably be Pebble.
All right. Now, fantasy foursome, living or deceased, you and three others that you could play a round of golf with, who would they be?
Oh, gosh. Living or deceased?
Living or deceased.
Gosh, that would be quite a feat in itself because they would be deceased. You know, it'd be hard. I know it'd be kind of corny, but I'd probably say Jack, Arnie, and Tiger. I'd love to go play with those three guys. They're probably the three that I actually got a chance to watch and meet and be around. I would want to walk close to them on every hole and listen to them tell stories back and forth.
Man, that's awesome. Chris, I can't thank you enough for your time. I know that there's a saying around the University of Georgia, damn good dog, you're a damn good dog.
Wow.
And 30 years leading this program, it's special.
I've been very fortunate that I've had a front row seat with this program to see all this. But really and truly, the friends that I've made, the people that I've met, across this country and internationally when I captained a couple of Palmer Cup teams. I mean, I've met some incredible people that over my 46 years have just been great friends, and that's been the most special part of all this for me.
Thanks so much. Appreciate
it. I appreciate it.
I'm Dr. Lowry Barnes. When it comes to orthopedic care, there's no place like the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. We built this hospital just for you. With state-of-the-art surgical suites, advanced technology, and the state's largest group of fellowship-trained orthopedic surgeons, it's the best place in Arkansas to get you moving again. And if you need urgent orthopedic care, UAMS Ortho Now is right here for you at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health, where motion lives and service leads.
That's all the time for this edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. My thanks to Chris Hack for taking time out of one of his busy days and sitting down with me in Athens for these last two episodes. He is a damn good dog. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the Shortgrass.
You have been listening to From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network in association with Majestic Cubby Productions.